State Rep Julie Alexander joins us. Not a good week, Julie, since you last left here.
No, it sure hasn't. Greg, good morning. And Jamie is such a special person, and he will always have a special place in my heart.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're just kind of limping along here.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you can do. And, you know, we have his memories. He was so passionate towards his family, the community, and an avid sportsman. And I use Jamie as an incredible resource. I would call him with legislation that was in front of me, and he frequently called me regarding legislation, and he had an opinion on it, or
sure,
a governor's executive order that if he couldn't use his motorboat to go fishing. He always had an opinion, and I always just valued hearing from him, and just so dedicated to our community.
Yeah, it's incalculable loss, certainly.
What else
is happening? You're not at the White House.
I'm not at the White House. I do live in a white farmhouse, but that's about as close as I'm getting, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I have just been working diligently from home. My staff is working from home. We are working for the people of the 64th District. The emails, the phone calls, the messages are just flooding in, and we will continue to do all we can to get back with everyone so their voice is heard, but also so many people are in need of help. I had a long conversation with someone earlier this week, and I put her on my personal priority list. She's been waiting since March for help with unemployment, insurance, benefits, and she's owed $9,000 by the state. She's never once been able to communicate with anyone, and I pulled every string I could find. I don't have phone numbers of people to call, but we figured something out, and she just found out it was just her 2019 income tax that needed to be in that document online,
mm-hmm,
and hopefully she's going to, you know, find some help with the money that she was promised. Again, all this time she's been delayed and living off of her savings. And it's heart-wrenching, these stories day in and day out. So,
yeah, I just read a story. Lady over in Detroit has not heard from anybody in 8 months,
mm-hmm,
for her unemployment. Now, the new guy coming in, there was a story out yesterday that, I don't know, they've done some revision work there, and they're hoping this time around that things will be better. That remains to be seen, I guess.
It remains to be seen, and I am the voice of 90,000 people, and I need to be able to communicate with these departments, and they don't take our phone calls, our emails aren't responded to, but we're just finding different ways to go around and navigate and do everything we can. I called my staff yesterday. I said, find a phone number for me to call. Find someone that will listen to me, because I want to be your voice out there. And now we know with the restaurants closing, we are looking at, you know, a significant number of more restaurants that will be closing permanently, in addition to the 2,000 in our state that already have. But these are people with jobs and that need these jobs to put food on the table. So we need to be doing all we can to navigate this and help these individuals, and that's what we are here to do.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it, Julie? Because you look, we were pushing 8,000 new cases yesterday, and it looks like that's more the recurring number than we used to get our eyebrows raised when there were 2,000 or 3,000 cases.
Of course, we need to take the cases seriously, but we also need to be looking at the science and the data behind it. They're not coming from the restaurants. I think what frustrates me most, Greg, is in some of my conversations, I'm working on some legislation with the Restaurant Association.
Mm-hmm.
And in the conversations I had with them the end of last week and the first of this week, they were having conversations with the administration and looking at what they can do to be a team player, and then they get broadsided on Sunday with us. They were looking at, do you want us to close down earlier so that the night before Thanksgiving, we don't have that big bar night? If those are our young people that may be acting not so responsibly, let's deal with that specific issue. And then instead, it was as if they got the rug pulled out from under them with the notification without communicating with them. And again, that's what we often feel like in Lansing. We have three legislators that meet with the COVID data team, but they're not being brought to the table on decisions and or information. It's just presented. But I get people don't always want to hear that from me. I get people say, just get along, just find solutions. That's what we're sending you to Lansing to do. I will continue working on behalf of everyone. The phone calls, the emails, the messages that I take, not everyone is 100% pleased with where I stand on issues, but I'm here to listen to what your concerns are, better understand what they are. But then our strategy needs, when it comes to COVID, we don't want anyone to die. We need to protect the vulnerable. And we know that, you know, when we look at the death rates, 70 years and older, the death rate there is 4 in 100. We need to be looking at what we're doing with our care homes and placement there. But when we look at the overall incidences of death rate in our country, we've got 2 in 1,000. So we need to be looking at the populations. We need to be using good, safe strategies. It's just so frustrating because this is going on and on. And when we look at livelihoods as well as lives, people are hurting out there on a variety of levels. So we'll just be here. Our goal must always, in regard to the safety, health, and well-being, we need to be cognizant of all that, but the unintended consequences are so significant as well.
So are you guys working at home then until the 8th?
I have been, yes. I did Zoom call meetings for committees. There have been some committees. Oversight Committee met yesterday. They brought in some county clerks to talk about election integrity, to talk about what policies and procedures are for the County Board of Canvassers. So some were in Lansing, and in my case, I just watched it from at home. I also had a legislation up in Judicial Senate Committee. I could have driven to Lansing. There's nothing preventing me from driving to Lansing, but just for time's sake, I just zoomed in from home in case they needed someone to testify on some legislation. So some are in Lansing, some are from home. We're definitely keeping busy with everything being thrown at us right now.
So did you see the county clerk meeting?
I did. I watched the majority of it. And again, those are public hearings. In addition to that, I've had conversations with our county board chair of canvassers. Just personally called him and just said, tell me about what you saw, what you experienced. I've also met with our county clerk, Amanda Riska Kirkpatrick, and learned more about the process here in our county.
So, no... Any wrongdoing?
There are no irregularities that were reported that were not fixed. There were some small glitches, but nothing that was standing out to any of those that were involved in the process. Again, you have the Republicans, you have Democrats, everyone looking at it, and some of the irregularities we're seeing in other parts of our state, to the best of my knowledge, did not appear in our Jackson County community. But I wanted just to have those conversations with individuals, firsthand experiences.
Yeah, I guess nothing really outlandish happened at the county clerk meeting. I was reading about it.
Yes, it appeared to be very calm. And you know, one of the questions, people are looking for civility amongst each other, and I was assured that everyone in our community here was, you know, very civil.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was polite and respectful. There were no major issues. Again, a few little things, issues, but that they could find reasons for it. And I think that's the concern over in Wayne County, when you have such a large percentage, 70% of the precincts are not balancing, and that causes concern. So you would need answers as to why. And again, we have the County Board of Canvassers that have reported. The next step is for the state to report. I believe constitutionally they have 40 days to do that, although that was initially scheduled for this next Monday. I believe that may be delayed, but we will watch. You know, voter integrity is crucial to our democracy, and that has to be our goal, to have an election run with the highest level of an integrity. We have policies and procedures laid out, and it's not necessarily about who wins or loses an election. It is about a well-vetted election laws and process.
And apparently that was the case here, right? I don't see anything.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
State Rep Julie Alexander, of course, you can... Julie gives out her cell phone number.
Absolutely, 517-740-9982. My office number, if you are in need of assistance with your unemployment insurance claim, I would suggest emailing the office, julialexander@house.mi.gov. Email us the information, and if you are stuck in the process, and we will do all we can to help you, the residents of the 64th District. And if you aren't sure who your rep is, we can help you figure that out, or you can go online and just Google that as well.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks for the kind words about Jamie.
Again, my sympathy to you and all of those in the McGimmigan group, because you're such a close-knit family, and it affects us all. But we will hold his memories near and dear, and I will see him again one day.
Thank you.